Good morning. If you would please take out your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I'd just like to say it's wonderful to be with you this morning. Our last Sunday morning with you before we move away. It's a hard morning. It's a special morning in ways with emotions that I just can't describe. So let me just say that I'm thankful that you're here and I'm thankful to be here. Let's study the Word of God together. Reason number one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And start reading with me in verse 1, if you will. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. I've spent months thinking about this sermon, thinking about what I would say to you this morning, and it really is a genuine struggle for a preacher to decide what he's going to say in his last sermon. I had a conversation with one of my preacher friends, and I asked him what he thought about what a preacher should say in his last sermon, and he told me this. He said, on one hand, you know, it's your last shot with these people for a while, so you want to say something that really makes a difference. You want to say something that really counts. He said, on the other hand, you're not really sure anyone's going to remember what you're going to say. And so I said, how's that different than any other Sunday? Of all the passages that I could choose, I felt like this one in 1 Thessalonians fits this moment better than any other, because it's a passage written by a preacher who's separated from a church that he loves. Paul had a relationship with the Thessalonians, a deep one. He spent very little time in that city up to this point, just enough time to win a good number of converts, to experience a riot, to watch a Christian's house get attacked and get thrown in jail. And once Paul gets out of jail, he and Silas, they're whisked away. And despite that short time that Paul spent in that city, Paul tells us in these verses that he couldn't stop thinking about those brethren that were there. This passage describes his constant concern for their well-being. He has such a great concern for the Christians in Thessalonica that he says in these verses he couldn't stand it any longer. He couldn't stand to be where he is and to not know how they're doing, to not know whether or not they're okay or whether they've fallen away. He can't endure not knowing. And so he sends Timothy to Thessalonica to find out and report back about their status with the Lord. And when he finds out that they're doing well, he says, for now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. Paul was a preacher separated from a church that he loved. And I think there are some lessons in this passage for us on this day, especially. I think this passage should teach you something that I've been learning by experience for these last couple of months. This passage teaches us something, and that is this. You matter. Sorry, I never learned how to do bubble letters. You matter. and not just to the people who are within the walls of this church building. This passage teaches us that a local church can make a difference even for a person who's not located here, even for a person who doesn't worship here regularly every single Sunday and Wednesday. You notice what Paul said in verse 8 as we referenced before. He said, "For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord." Their lives, their faith, their service made a difference for Paul even though he wasn't with them. And I love what Paul says in the verse before where we started our reading, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul says, "For you are our glory and our joy." The Christians in Thessalonica were Paul's glory and his joy. And I just love that phrase. And I think that's true of you guys when it comes to me. Paul says, "You are my glory and my joy." That means I am proud. I'm proud to have been associated with you. You're my glory, and not in some kind of self-aggrandizing sort of way. He's not saying, "Man, I'm really glad you look good because you make me look better." That's not what he's saying. He's saying, "I'm so glad, I'm so proud to have been associated with you. You are serving God so well. You make every Christian look better. You're my glory." He says, "You're my joy. You give me a reason to smile, even when I'm not around you. You are a wellspring of rejoicing inside of me." Paul could wake up every single day, and one of the reasons he could smile is because Thessalonica had Christians that were doing well. They were joy to him. They were his glory and his joy. They mattered. You matter to us. You have mattered to us for the last 4.5 years. You matter now. And you will matter when we've gone. The state of the Southside Church will never stop having an impact on me and my family. You will impact me and continue to impact me in much the same way that Thessalonica impacted Paul. I want you to know that your faith, your continued faith, is going to help stabilize my faith over the coming years. You remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7. Check out what he says here. He says, "For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith." Knowing that other Christians were serving the Lord in the midst of intense persecution, that comforted Paul. In some way, to some degree, serving Christ became easier because the Thessalonians were doing that too. And your faith comforts me. And will continue to comfort me. Your trust in God, your steadfastness, your immovability when it comes to sound doctrine, your firm stand for the truth helps stabilize my walk in the Lord, no matter what state or city I live in. Southside has become one of mine and my family's most sturdy spiritual anchors. And I want you to know that if you drift, it will be easier for me to drift. And if you hold fast to sound doctrine, it will be easier for me to hold fast. You matter. You help stabilize my faith. And Paul doesn't only say that. Not only do you help stabilize my faith, he also says that they bring him immense joy and motivation. And you guys are going to do the same thing for me. That your faith, your stand with the Lord, it motivates me and it causes me to rejoice. It will continue to do that. The Thessalonians became a source of joy for Paul. Notice what he says in verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 3. Verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 3, where he says this, "For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before God on your account?" He says, "You've given me so much joy. You've made me rejoice so much by your firm stand. I feel indebted to you. You've made me so happy, I don't know how to repay you." And I feel the same way. Your faithfulness will do the same for me. As long as Southside stands firm, holding to the traditions that we've been taught by the Word of God, the Bannings will have a reason to smile. You matter. And you always will. And I want you to understand this too. Get this too this morning. That I'm not just speaking for the three members of my family. I'm speaking for tens of thousands. I'm speaking for saints who worship in graying churches and dying churches, who have seen their own people leave for the world, but are encouraged to hear about a thriving church in Pasadena, Texas. And I'm speaking for those members of tiny churches who are doing God's work in difficult fields, who are encouraged in that work because they remember what Southside was like when they came to lectures that one year. I'm speaking for those jaded Christians who are experiencing conflict in their churches, who can look at Southside and see a church that has maintained an unrivaled level of peace for nearly half a century. You matter, not just to me and my family, to tens of thousands. You have become imitators of the apostles and the Lord, having received the word willingly and obediently with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Houston and across Texas. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in this state, but also in every state. This church matters. It is an anchor. It is a beacon. It is glory and joy for tens of thousands of Christians. Now, I hope when you hear that this morning that you're feeling something. I hope that you feel the weight of responsibility that that places on your shoulders. Imagine for a moment being a Thessalonian Christian, one of those saints who's only been a saint for just a short period of time, who gets a letter from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in that letter says, if you're serving God, if you stand firm, I really live. Man, what a weight of responsibility that would put on a Christian's shoulders. That's the same weight that you have. I really live if you stand firm. And thousands of other Christians really live if you guys stand firm. It's a weight of responsibility because you matter. And as Leah and I and Ellison contemplate leaving you all to do the Lord's work in another place, we want you to know that our prayer for you is that you would continue to serve God in such a way that you will continue to be our glory and our joy. And hear me carefully. That will be decided by what you do, not by what you have done. That will be decided by what you do, not by what you have done. That was the case for Paul in the Thessalonians as well. Paul didn't write to the Thessalonians and say, I'm going to have joy forever. I'm going to feel like you're my glory forever because of everything you've done up to this point. And nothing you do in the future is going to change that. Paul wrote to them and he told them, you are my glory and my joy. And if you want to keep being that, you have to excel still more. You have to get bigger. You have to get greater. You have to get stronger. You have to stand firmer. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, he wrote this. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that just as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Look at what he says in verses 9 and 10. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. Complacency is never acceptable for a church. Southside has done some amazing things. This is an amazing church. It is a wonderful church. It is my glory and my joy. But my faith will not be stabilized and my heart will not be joyful all the way over in Florida just because I know what you did. It will be that way because I know what you're doing. I know that you continue to excel. Southside cannot subsist forever on the glories of past successes. If you intend to continue to be the beacon that you are, you must excel still more. There's more work to do. And so with our remaining time, I don't want to talk to you as your preacher. I simply want to talk to you as one of the tens of thousands that are strengthened and encouraged by this good church. I'd like to tell you what I'd like to hear about you in the years to come. I'd like to tell you how to continue being my glory and my joy. First of all, in the coming years, I want to hear that each of you have set your sights on sharing the gospel with the people around you. That's something that would bring indescribable joy to Leah, Ellison, myself, and tens of thousands more to hear that you are excelling in personal work. Can I tell you what I want to hear specifically? I want to hear in 5 years that personal evangelism is front and center in the minds of every Christian here. That it's the first thing you think about. It is number one on your priority list. It's something you think about and you talk about. Something that you're engaged in on a daily basis. I want to hear about Bible studies going on in coffee shops and homes and in that library back there week by week by week. And in 10 years, when we come back to visit, we'll come back before then, but I tried to say that right and I said it wrong. 10 years from now, after we have visited many, many times, I want to have to learn new names. I want to have to meet new people. A bunch of new people. People that you found, taught, and helped to be clothed with Christ that were in this community. And in 15 years, I want to hear that you've outgrown this building. That you've just saved too many people. And you've got to find somewhere else to worship. You will be my glory and my joy when I hear that concerning this vital aspect of the church's work, sharing the gospel with the lost around you, that you have not grown complacent, but you have continued to grow strong, that you have excelled still more. And in the future, I want to hear also that you are more peaceful than ever. Whenever a preacher friend asks me about the work at Southside, I always respond the same way. Whenever they say, "How's Southside?" I always say, "It is the most peaceful church I've ever been a part of." And brothers and sisters, that's not flattery. Never have I ever been a part of a body of believers that maintains such divine peace amongst one another. The peace of this church is abundant. It is unrivaled. It is long-lasting. And you need to know that that doesn't just happen. That's not luck. I think sometimes we feel that way about peace. Man, we're really lucky we haven't had a split. We're really lucky there's not conflict here. That's not luck. It's fruit. This remarkable peace among the members at Southside is the fruit of humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love, according to Ephesians 4:2. It is the fruit of godly leadership among the elders, preachers, and deacons. It is the fruit of wise choices. It is fruit that you have worked hard to bear. And allow me to say this too, that peace does not come from a low amount of activity. I think some churches in other places think that way. They think if we try to do too much, if we try to do something new, if we try to change something, that's going to wreck our peace. No. That's not why churches have peace. Churches have peace because of the people. You have peace and unity here because of who you are. Please do not pass up good opportunities in the future for fear that it may disrupt the peace and unity of this church. Good works, engaging in good works together, do not strain our bond, they strengthen it. You will be glory and joy for me when I hear through the years that the peace here grows even greater than it was before. And that's fruit that you guys know how to bear. Every person, every individual person here must continue to attain greater levels of humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love. That's what I'd be overjoyed to hear in the years to come. And I'd also like to hear in the coming years that you are churning out more effective kingdom laborers. That'll be such a blessing to see and hear. Brothers and sisters, I don't think you understand what a difference you make in God's kingdom when it comes to developing preachers and leaders. I don't think you understand just how much of a difference you've made. How heavy is a pound? How long is an inch? If I asked you that question, you might pull out a ruler and say, an inch is this long. Well, who said an inch is that long? Who made that ruler? There's a division within our government called the Office of Weights and Measures. And it's their mission to oversee the standardizing of all the weights and measurements in this country. Every scale, every ruler bases their measurements on their standard. They've got a hunk of material in their office that they say is 1 pound, and everything else in this country is judged based on that hunk of material. It's weighed against that standard. Which, by the way, I just thought of a great way for you to lose weight. You just break in, switch it with something lighter. Brothers and sisters of Southside, when it comes to local churches helping young preachers grow and mature, you are the standard. You are the standard. You are the standard against which all other churches should evaluate themselves. For 40 plus years, this church has been blessing the greater kingdom of God by developing his workers. Dee Bowman, Bubba Garner, Randy King, Chuck Durham, Lawrence Kelly, Tony Mock, Brent Moody, Mike Tomley, Jason Moore, Marty Pickup, Michael Cawthon, Marshall Reed, Russ Bowman, David Curry, Tim King, Jared Bowman, Jeff Carr, Don Truex, Jarrett Ferguson, and myself have all come here. And others more, I'm sure. And you have helped us evolve into something greater than we were when we came. You're an incubator. You are the ideal environment for growing preachers and kingdom leaders. And in the coming years, I want to hear that your work in that regard does not cease, but that it continues to grow, that you keep churning out those kingdom leaders. And can I say this? You don't need a program to do that. I don't know what Dee and Bubba have planned. I don't know if either of them intend to have another trainee. I haven't talked to them about that. I'm sure they will make a God-glorifying choice about that in the coming years. But one thing I don't want all of you to do is I don't want you to sit back and think that you can't help develop leaders just because Southside hasn't hired a young guy to sit in that office that I've occupied. You make preachers. You make teachers. You make elders and deacons. And you have a crop of young men full of potential sitting among you every single service. Go make them preachers. Go make them teachers. Go make them elders. And you older ladies, you grab these younger ladies and you make them the perfect companions for those kingdom leaders, because you work on the wives too. You as a whole, as a local church, according to the proper working of each individual part, have a talent for making leaders. Don't you dare bury it. It will be glory and joy for me to hear of each leader that you make in the coming years. And finally, I want to hear in the coming years that you encourage even more. Perhaps the most potent piece of the personality of this church is its encouraging nature. You're just a bunch of Barnabases. That's really what you are. And I've seen amazing things in you. I've seen you give till it hurt buying food for starving brothers and sisters in Africa. I've seen you give till it hurt to make Christians financially whole when Harvey came upon us. I remember the Bach Millers bringing us the Lord's Supper in the hospital the day after Ellison was born and worshiping with us. I remember the guys who volunteered to help us move out of our apartment and didn't run away when they got there and found out it was a third-story apartment. We've received your cards, eaten your meals, and seen the way you show up for a funeral. I felt your warm embrace and your love. I felt it when I showed up single, when you welcomed Leah, when you welcomed Ellison. I felt it when I announced that we were leaving, and not one single person, was anything but supportive. Honestly, I'm not sure how to take that. It's an amazing thing. Not a single person here. Not one single comment was anything but supportive. Brothers and sisters, that doesn't happen in every other place. And I'm grateful for that. Y'all are a bunch of Barnabases. And I'll really live when I continue to hear that you excel still more in your encouragement of the saints. You matter. You are my glory and my joy, and not mine only, but for tens of thousands more. And not theirs only, but also a great cloud of witnesses who have since gone on. And not theirs only, but also the Father, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are their glory and their joy too. As Paul would write in his second letter to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse 11, he said, to this end, we also pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my prayer, it will be my joy, to know that through the years, the decades, and the centuries, the Southside Church of Christ continues to glorify Christ, and its members will in turn be glorified by Christ. That's how the universe works. We glorify him, and he glorifies us. We glorify Christ by believing in him, confessing his name, repenting of our sins, obeying him by washing our sins away in the waters of baptism, and then after that, submitting our entire existence to his will. He glorifies us by granting to us eternal life. Is there someone here this morning that needs to glorify the Savior? It would be my joy to see you do that today. Do it now while we stand and while we sing.